It's not just a home or a car. It's the 6 months you've saved for the Ultra HD flat screen and the overtime you worked for that third car so your teen can drive himself to practice. While other insurance companies just see them as a bundle or a combo, State Farm agent Tony Hoagland sees your home and car as things you work really hard for. Tony understands what your things really mean to you and is here to help you give them the protection they deserve. Talk to State Farm agent Tony Hoagland in Champlin for your home and auto insurance today. That's ChamplinInsurance.com.
The Minnesota Wild are scoring machines. We talk goals, goalies, and trash talking before bringing in guest AJ Galante, former hockey GM of the now defunct Danbury Trashers turned Netflix documentary star. As always, we're created by New Voice Studios, presented by SodaStick, brought to you by Jim Beam, Better Edge, and State Farm Insurance agent Tony Hoagland at ChamplinInsurance.com. This is season 3, episode 101.
Be sure to join the Marcus Foligno fan club by purchasing your official tee at sodastick.com. A portion of all proceeds will go toward the Janice Foligno Foundation. And don't forget to snag 15% off all purchases with code BARDOWNBEAUTIES at sodastick.com.
At Jim Beam, they know the importance of tradition, like chanting "Let's play hockey" prior to the start of each game or playing the State of Hockey anthem after a Wild win. This season, raise one to your fan family with the bourbon that invites us all to come as friends and leave as family. Jim Beam Bourbon Whiskey, the official bourbon whiskey partner of the Minnesota Wild and XL Energy Center. Remember, drink smart. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Incorporated, Claremont, Kentucky.
From New Voice Studios.
Oh yeah, you betcha, let's go to the boat.
Discombobulate on the spot.
Part of the Talk North Podcast Network.
Fly out to Russia personally.
Jesse Pierce.
This is off the rails, we're only a couple already minutes in.
Alexis Pearson.
We're not going to throw batteries on the ice at, you know, Kirill Kaprizov. This is, we're not that crazy. Like.
Bar Down Beauties Podcast.
Was it about guys getting hammered down low night after night?
Like, everyone loves to crap on analytics, but the analytics do not lie here.
We are firing Fred at the top of the hour. More hit. It's like tea. Tea.
Starts now.
Hello, everybody. That's just one hello, Jesse sounding, as opposed to Fred's monster of a machine that he made last week. We're back. I'm Jesse Pierce. She's Alexis Pearson. He's producer Fred. Thank you for joining us for episode 101.3 KDWB.
Right.
Yeah.
That's you have to say like Dave Ryan.
You know, teaser, we actually have a fun KDWB guest coming up in a couple weeks. So there you go. That's
nice.
That's your teaser. That's your preview. We've got a lot to talk about. Caden over here would love to talk as well.
I was going to say, is Caden like the KDWB guest?
Caden's the KDWB guest. Yes. No, I mean, let's start off. We got trash talking, which also leads into our guest, AJ Galante. We've got goals. We've got Kaprizov. We've got Ryan Hartman, Arizona back. Still. What should we start with, Alexis? What do you want to start talking about?
Do we have a hat? Can we draw something out of a hat? We got
producer
so many good
Fred,
things to
direct
talk
us
about.
In the direction that we should go.
Direct
you
us
have
in the direction.
To start with the K to the A to the P to the Kaprizov. Off.
Let's
oh, okay. That
do
was a
it.
Wrap.
That was look at you. I'm rubbing off on you. 3 years in, and I'm finally like getting it into you. Good work, Fred. Good work. Kaprizov, 4 points in a dominating victory over the Winnipeg Jets, who I did not realize were that bad.
Yeah,
but they are that bad. You know, he's finally starting to find the back of the net, which is good, but he still is kind of an assist machine. Alexis, I know we've talked about it time and time again. I mean, should we be concerned at all that he's not scoring and he's rather setting up the plays? Do we think, I mean, obviously it's still good, as Anthony LaPanta, our guest in last week's episode, said,
yeah,
hey, if every slump includes, you know, all these assists or all these points, it's not a bad problem to have. But I mean, we want goals from him, right?
Yeah. At the end of the day, that's, I think, the ultimate goal, no pun intended. And I've kind of gone back and forth on like, is it okay if he has more assists than goals? Yes. No, I don't know. As long as he's getting points, I don't really care. But we've talked about it with Dane. We've talked about it with, you know, lots of different people saying he's getting paid to score goals, right? There's other guys on this team who are meant to contribute in the assist column more than the goal column. And you're on the top line. You need to be getting goals. And I think the best scorers in the league historically, you know, they're usually getting more goals than assists. Like when you think of the best scorers, a lot of times,
get into later on as well. Another tease for segment 3.
Didn't even try to do that. Yes. We will talk about that later. But you know, sometimes you'll see the assist column, you know, that'll be pretty hefty as well. But for the most part, that goal column is where they're known, what they're known for, right? And how they put the puck in the back of the net. And so at the end of the day, I want Kaprizov to be that person who's scoring a lot of goals. And if he's also getting a lot of assists, that should just be a bonus. And I do think that will come. I think at some point that will flip, and it's not something I'm like super concerned about, but I do think I'm now like safely in the area of saying like, okay, if this season ends and he has more assists than goals, I do think that's something that will be talked about, you know, among the hockey community and the Minnesota Wild community of like, is this a problem? And will this be something that carries into seasons to come? So.
Right. I mean, I guess my only take on it is like, it seems like he's found his groove anyway, right? He's involved in the plays. I mean, we saw a little bit of that slump shining through, you know, even just about a week ago where it was like, he just didn't seem to be out there working as hard. And I hate to say that because I know Kirill Kaprizov is a hard worker. I know he is a game changer. I know he's a fantastic hockey player. You just saw him be a little different, but I think, you know, and again, Winnipeg, they're trash, obviously. Yeah. So like, there's that to consider, but I mean, he looked good. He looked like he had his groove back. Speaking of goals, Alexis, do you have like a major goal to just be like better at Beat the Butte? Do you think? Did you win this week? God. Did you win Friday or did you lose?
No,
again
I didn't.
Friday?
I didn't. Okay. I was off to a good start. I was off to a real good start. I was hanging in there, and I think I lost the last. I incorrectly predicted the last like three out of the four matchups, and so I was hanging in there, and then I just dropped. And you know what? At this point, it is what it is. Everyone should be thanking me. I'm literally giving you free money. It's way too easy. It's way too easy. If anything, I should apologize to Jesse, because people are going to stop wanting to play on the day Jesse plays, and they're going to come try to play against
me. I like
to
win the money. All right. I am competitive. You guys all know this. And for those of you that haven't checked it out, we have Beat the Butte happening twice a week. One day you go up against me and my over unders on Better Edge. That's BETTOREdge.com. Another day you go up against Alexis. I'm undefeated this year. I've come very close to not, I just barely nudged out Fred the other day.
Barely. Clearly, I'm between both of you. I'm better than Alexis, but just behind Jesse.
Yeah. Behind. I know. My husband now wants to play just so he can beat me. He's like, you need to get taken down a peg. Like, now he's ball back into
it. No, you got to share this story because this was hilarious. So literally on Friday, it was early games on Friday, and Beat the Butte obviously starts when the first game starts. You got to get entered before then. And it's kind of like the middle of the day on Friday. And Jesse texts me, she goes, did you do Beat the Butte today? And I'm thinking, yeah, obviously, like I was supposed to. And I was like, why? And she goes, well, cause Mike, her husband, she was like, he really wants to play against me, but he wants to kind of ease into it. So he wants to play you first. And I'm like, nice. Thanks. That means a lot.
It's a path I recommend all of you to take too. But again, you can check that out on BetterEdge, BETTOREdge.com. One of our fantastic partners. It's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun with it. I love Razin. Alexis will get there someday, but if not, eventually. You can just go win money.
For I just want to win once thing. Before the season is over. That's all I'm trying to do. Just one
Again,
time.
Goals, circle, full circle, goals. You know, let's get into goalies as well. I know I've been hard on Cam Talbot, and you know what? It was tough love. We talked about that last week. I continue my tough love. He stole some games. He's looking solid. You know, he's looking like a number one goaltender, Alexis.
Yeah. He has really this past like week really kicked it up a gear. And you and I have been on a different page here since the beginning of the season, as far as our thoughts on the goaltending. And I've been firm in my stance that I'm not worried about Cam Talbot. I'm not worried about the goaltending. You've kind of been more on the concern side, somewhere in between, but you've always wanted him to succeed. You just were concerned he couldn't do it.
Right.
And so I think this last week we saw him hit this different level where he was keeping the Wild in games, helping the Wild win games. And even like in the 7-1 victory over the Jets the other night, I thought Cam Talbot played incredible, which in a way kind of flew under the radar because the Wild scored 7 goals, but he made some really good saves in that game. And if the Wild scoring wouldn't have been there that night, it would have been much more noticeable because they would have needed those saves to help them win a little bit more. So I think he's really, and again, he's such a calm and quiet goaltender that sometimes when he has these really good games, it almost goes unnoticed because you're like, wait a second. It's like you look back and think like, oh, he had a really good game the other night. And so hopefully this kind of trend can continue. And maybe it just took him, you know, a few weeks into the season to hit that groove of, okay, now I'm comfortable. Now I found my game a little bit. And now it's just going to be a matter of, can he stick with it? Because consistency is the big thing with netminders. You can't have wishy-washy goaltending. in a game or in a season. And so if he can find a way to stick with this, I think a lot of people are going to feel a little bit more relieved, hopefully yourself included, Jesse, when it comes to the Minnesota Wild goaltending.
Yeah, I'll always apologize when I'm wrong or I'm, you know, hitting it too hard. But yeah, I wanted to see a little bit more out of him. Like you said, Alexis, I was never really like, oh no, this is terrible. The world is burning. Like, no, I just was kind of, I had questions about it. By now, a new question is, when's the next time you get Kapokakinen in a game? They've got this big homestand. Arizona obviously comes to town on Tuesday. We're recording this ahead of the game against Tampa, which probable that Cam Talbot stays in net. Yeah. I mean, but you need to still get Kapo those games and continue to build his confidence, because his last in net showing, not that great. So, you know, there's still a little work to be done. Again, I had the issue with Cam, but I also had an issue with, I'm not secured in that tandem as a whole, right? Because I have my nervousness about Kapokakinen. So I'm sure they'll figure it out. Arizona would be a great game because they are real bad, like really, 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 really bad. So that's, you know, I'm sure maybe we'll see Kapo get a little confidence boost there. I mean, continuing on the trend of really bad and goaltenders, the Minnesota Wild chase Connor Hellebuyck, who's a fantastic goaltender for all intents and purposes, in Friday's matinee game against the Winnipeg Jets, which, you know, was really hilarious to see. More hilarious to see was on the board, the Black Friday special that the Minnesota Wild game ops decided to toss on up there.
Good.
I mean, so good, right?
That was my buddy Arthur that did that.
That was who?
That was Arthur.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, pat on the back, high Arthur, five, yeah. Tip of the hat. Well done. That is just... It's so funny. It's so clever. So shady. Like I love shadiness. Like that's the kind of stuff I love in sports. And
it's
that's
so Minnesota too, right? It's still very passive aggressive in nature. Like it's just very kind of like poke the bear, but I saw it and I'm like, oh man, like they've been really trolling Edina hard this year on the scoreboard, which I also find hilarious, but that was just beautiful chef's kiss.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff that makes sports fun, and you need that in sports. And I was talking to our friend Aaron Lowry yesterday at the Gopher game. And we were just talking about how, you know, that's what you need to be able to do when you work for a team. You need to find ways to have fun. You need to find ways to poke fun at the other team and get your fans engaged in the game and get your fans to laugh. And I thought that was hilarious. And who would have thought that the Jets were that bad? I mean, the last time we played them at home, it was a back and forth game, kind of looked like the Jets might win, kind of looked like Wild might win. And this game, it's like, where was that Jets team that a month
ago? Your prediction of an overtime was spot on.
I know.
Like, I was fully expecting to go into overtime. Yeah. No question about it. I was in, you know, maybe a 2-goalie. I wasn't expecting a 7-1 game. Like, man alive. Brutal. Yeah, Absolutely brutal.
I think Pierre-Luc Dubois was the only person who showed up for the Jets the other night. I mean, barely. That's not saying much. Like, he was the only one who maybe kind of showed up in that game.
They got salty too, man.
Yeah.
Salty.
When Pierre-Luc Dubois like tackled Kevin Fiala, I'm like, okay, so he dangled you seven times. Now you're mad.
He can't beat you. Yeah. You can't beat him up. Like, that's kind of what it seemed like. No, it was still a great time. I love a shout out for more 2:30 games. Shout out for the 1 o'clock game today. Love to see it. Shout out for more trash talking. We are going to get to more trash talking, pun intended. AJ Galante, if you guys have not checked out the Netflix documentary of Untold Crimes, and this one is Penalty Minutes and Crimes or something like that. I apologize. I get it correct in our introduction with him. Don't worry. But highly recommend it. It's fantastic. Yeah. AJ, such a salt of the earth human, hilarious, nice. Really grateful that he was able to hop on and have some fun with us and talk Danbury Trashers and talk a little bit about owning a hockey team, which is pretty crazy at the age of 17. So be sure to stick around for that. And obviously we'll also talk goal scorers coming up in segment 3. That'll do it for this segment. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
It's hockey season, baby, and the best way to head into a new season is to be fully equipped with all the merch you need to cheer on your favorite teams. Oh, and some Bar Down Beauties merch too, right? Right. We've got you covered. Literally, head over to teespring.com where you can find all kinds of custom design, Bar Down Beauties apparel, plus so much more.
Joining us now, the youngest United Hockey League team president and GM in history, probably, right? Who signed Brad Gretzky, and developed the Bad Boy team of hockey with the sickest logo, the now defunct Danbury Trashers, AJ Galante. AJ, what's going on, man? I'm so excited to have you on.
Jesse, how are you? Nice to finally meet you guys. How are you?
Yeah, we're good. We're happy to meet you too, and happy that you could join us today. This is going to be a fun interview. I think our listeners are going to like this one a lot.
Yeah.
Me too. I'm looking forward to it.
Have you been running around crazy since the Netflix documentary dropped? I mean, has it just been, I'm shocked. I had never heard of this. I don't know if it's because we're in the Midwest. Like, I completely missed the story, and then Netflix came out and I was like, this is epic. I love this.
You know, that's something I hear every day is how did I not hear about this? But, you know, look, we were kind of just like a little regional team, right? And yeah. I mean, back in those days, there wasn't social media. So, you know, I think today with social media and everything, I mean, you could find out something happening in a little town in Idaho today if something happened, you know? So it's like, yeah, I hear that a lot. How did we not hear about it? But, you know, it was a different time back then, you know? Yeah. It was not too many, well, thankfully, not as many recordings, you know? So it's like, things didn't really get out there that much.
Right,
well,
right.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask is, you know, without the social media and all of that, you got handed this opportunity, gift, whatever you want to call it, at such a young age, and to not have as many eyes on you, maybe a few newspaper writers' eyes. But at the time, you were kind of just able to do whatever you want and let people learn about this team and learn about you and the whole thing. What was that like to be so young and be like, holy cow, I'm the owner of a team?
You know, it's funny you asked that because, you know, you got to remember, this was like half a lifetime ago for me. I'm 35 now. So it's like, I don't think it's, you know, at the time, it's like, you know, I was talking to my mom the other day and I'm like, Mom, can you believe like how many like people love this story? It's crazy. But my mom was like, you know, AJ, this isn't normal. Like we normalized this at the time, but this isn't a normal situation, right?
Right.
So it's like, you know, you're kind of right, Ma. You know, it's not normal, I guess. And it, as I get older, it's kind of weird. It actually becomes more and more unbelievable as I age, because it's like in my boxing gym here, I see kids 17 years old that I wouldn't even let control the plunger. Right? So it's like I look and in all seriousness, I look at these young kids and I'm like, I can't believe my dad would just like do that, you know? And if you know my dad, you know, all my old friends, if you know my dad, it's not really strange, but for someone on the outside looking in, I see as I get older just how crazy it really was.
I mean, it made for such a compelling documentary. For those of you that haven't checked it out, it's Untold mm-hmm. Crime and Penalties. Highly, highly recommend it. You know, it was, and there was the saying in the documentary that The Sopranos was based off your father. Is that how accurate is that? I mean, that's the whole thing. The documentary just has all these cast of characters, but they're not characters. They're real people, right? I mean, Sopranos, is that accurate? Was the documentary accurate? What's your take on those two things?
Allegedly, I have no idea. You know, it's one of those situations where, you know, when The Sopranos started, believe it or not, we didn't watch the show when it was going on live. It just, you know, we knew what it was, but, you know, very early on when you find out the kid's name is AJ and this and that, all of a sudden people start wondering. But honestly, I mean it. I have no idea. I mean, there are some weird similarities and there, you know, there's some things that are totally off. Some are kind of eerie, weird things, but you know, I don't ever remember HBO coming for Life Right. So I have no idea whether that's true or not true.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of something we've heard for a while.
Right. So you're not cashing HBO checks or anything. So I mean, which you could, yeah, right.
Unfortunately, I mean, look at my office. I got holes in the wall. I mean, I definitely am not cashing any HBO checks. No.
At least you have an office. I'm sitting in my kitchen. Yeah. So I mean, you're a step Start above me. Switch. That's always
hey,
nice.
Listen, post-COVID anywhere's an office now. So it doesn't really matter.
That's true. You know, the documentary covers this, and I want to get your take on it as well, but you got the chance to play hockey, as a kid growing up, and you kind of had this tough guy mentality. And obviously that manifested itself into the way that you managed the Trashers. What was your experience like playing hockey? Did you ever envision like working in hockey someday, or was that kind of just like, that was just a fun thing you did and you thought your life would move on after that and it didn't?
I mean, hockey was my life, you know, like it says in the doc, from the time I watched Mighty Ducks in the early 90s, I just wanted to play hockey. And, you know, it's funny, Danbury, we didn't even have an ice arena when I was a little kid. So it's like we used to have to travel into New York to play. And you know, look, I had no you know, ambitions in being in the front office of any. I mean, I thought the closest I'd get was like EA Sports, like NHL, whatever year game we're in. But no, I mean, like I said, I mean, my life is really super random. I tell people everything I've ever been a part of, I had no idea like the year prior I'd be in it. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. you know, most dentists, they've gone to dental school, right? They know. I kind of just wake up and wherever the wind takes me. It's so weird. I have such a weird way of life. It's really hard to explain, but you know, it is what it is. I guess I'm that loopy that I was made for this type of life. I don't know.
It's just so much fun. So Bash Brothers, were those your guys for the Mighty Ducks? They had to have been, right?
I get asked constantly if I'm Fulton Reed or a Porter fan. A Portman fan. That's a tough one.
Right?
I'm going for Fulton Reed only because he's the OG. He was in the first one too.
So true.
And I felt a lot. I felt connected to Fulton Reed because I had a good slap shot, but I wasn't the best skater.
Yeah.
But I could skate. But no, I felt actually, I got to show you this. This is a private. This literally just came in the mail yesterday from the Mighty. This is a picture from Mighty Ducks too. My guy Goldberg and Averman sent me this picture.
Oh my god, that's awesome.
It says to AJ Quack on. This is the greatest thing I ever got.
You gotta get that in a frame.
Oh, it would be. I mean, I literally got this yesterday. This is like one of my prized possessions right now. I mean, it's just like I'm still just a kid at heart. I'm a fan. I mean, it's just like, it's amazing to me where this story has touched. It's really a super humbling.
I know. I mean, how's business now after the documentary? I have to imagine there's been a nice surge. People are talking about the Trashers. So they're looking for that stuff. I know Spit and Chicklets. I think you teamed up with them to get some merch, and then your boxing business as well. Has that taken a nice little boom, if you will?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy because in the documentary, if you look at the ending credits, it's a buddy that's doing the graffiti of the Trasher logo.
Yeah.
And that's actually behind my gym. Awesome. And it's funny because no exaggeration, at least once a day, there's people that just drive in the back and they're taking selfies with it and taking pictures. And it's kind of cool because then they come in, they see if I'm in here, and I love talking to people. Yeah, and, you know, I got to put my sales hat on. I try to pitch it to them. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's like the momentum of this story and this team, it's like I'm waiting to like get a schedule, like we're playing again. It's like I'm probably, no exaggeration, I wouldn't say more, but I'm probably as busy with the Trashers now as I was those two seasons. It's like, it's really unbelievable. It's like people were making fun of me on Instagram on the interview because I kept saying unbelievable, crazy, but I don't know any other adjectives to say. It's just the whole thing is nuts.
Yeah, that works. I mean, what did you learn as a GM that has now maybe translated to owning your boxing business? Is there anything that, I mean, again, you're a kid just growing up, so naturally you've learned more as you grow.
No.
Is there anything that you particularly pulled?
No, that's a great question. Absolutely. I think it's you learn how to manage personalities. Okay. Sure. So what I've learned is, like, you know, I knew as a kid, you know, at 17, when, you know, I was going to quote unquote be in charge, like I knew I wasn't going to gain the respect of these grown men by like yelling or doing anything crazy. So you, like, you learn ways to like communicate, and you learn to, like, my dad has always preached that to me. You got to learn how to manage personalities. Mm-hmm. And you know, there's some guys you could be tougher on than others. There's some guys and girls, like, if you're a little too tough with them, they're going to shut down. You just learn. And in here, it's, you know, I catch myself a lot in the gym doing things that I don't try to do, like we were doing with the team. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, oh my God, that was a Trasher moment. You know, like little things that it's just like in my subconscious now is really weird.
You know, go ahead, Alexis.
Well, I was going to say, you touched on something a little bit ago, talking about fans and your fandom of hockey and just kind of that community. And that's something I love talking about with our guests on this podcast, because I always say that I got into this business and this career because I'm a fan of hockey, and I love hanging on to that and taking that with me in everything that I do in my career. And to have you say that, you know, you were such a fan of it and that kind of carried you through your experience with it must have been pretty cool. And something that was my favorite part of the documentary, I think, was it section 102? Is that the section was getting everyone riled up? Mm-hmm. I loved the entire like part on that and kind of those fans. What was that like to have, you know, you talked about still to this day without a team anymore, people are still big fans of the team and want to know about them. But in those moments where those fans were getting everybody riled up, what was that like to see that unfold?
You know, one of the things I hate about, because I'm a big sports fan in general, one of the things I hate about sports is when these franchises say, oh, our team is, our fans are like family to us. Or our... It's not true.
Right.
You cannot tell the story of the Trashers without Section 102.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, I'm going to tell you a story not many people know. And it just goes to show how they were literally part of the team. So our first season... Excuse me. Our first season, we go to the playoffs, and our first round is against our arch rivals, Adirondack. And they had home ice advantage, so we go up there for the first two games. We won the first game. Then the second game was on a Saturday night. My dad ended up renting a bus for like 50 of the guys and girls from Section 102.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up. It was like a 3.5-hour drive. They came up, and the game ends up going to triple overtime.
Oh.
And anyone who knows anything about hockey, or if you played it or just a fan, that's grueling. Like playoff hockey is grueling. And then to like go into multiple overtimes, these guys were getting IVs, they were shot. Going into the third overtime, so the intermission going into the third overtime, our guys were literally sweating through their undershirts, like they were sopping wet. So a lot of the guys in our Section 102 that traveled heard this. They literally came to the tunnel and took their dry shirts off their back and was sending it to us to deliver to the guys. Now, as much as I love them, these guys were definitely not underwear models. So they were sitting up in the stands, like with no shirt on in the freezing cold. But just so our guys had dry shirts. We end up winning the game. Do we attribute it to the dry shirt? Maybe not, but it definitely had some sort of any sort of advantage we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Our fans were in. They were taking they were literally taking the shirts off their back for the team.
I know. Did you recognize? I mean, I loved, speaking of the fans, you had the one gentleman who said he wants to be buried in his Trashers jersey, right?
Yes.
And his wife who got into hockey because of the Trashers. Yes. Did you ever anticipate, especially when you were 17 years old, right, that you were making such an impact in that community?
You know, you don't really know I guess you don't really know what you're building until it's long gone in a way, or at least enough years gone by that you can kind of have a retrospect, you know. Greg and Brenda, the couple you're talking about, I remember them like early on. And I remember my dad kept asking, because we didn't know them personally before. And my dad was like, who are those people? So we sent someone down, and my dad's like, look, don't ever let them pay for a ticket again. You know, like they're on us. And, Greg showed me his will. It's a little creepy, but also flattering. It's flattering ultimately. Like, he has like the exact jersey he wants to get buried in. I mean, I don't know how to respond to that. I mean, I'm just like, I'm flattered, but at the same time, it's unreal. You don't know like the effects you have on people, you know, or something you built, the effects. It's wild.
You had mentioned earlier, you know, you had to manage a cast of people, right? I want to know, are the brothers actually like that in person? Because they were
hilarious.
Like, did you let me talk? No, did you let me? Like, oh my goodness. So they were really, I mean, was everybody pretty accurately portrayed? I mean, it seemed like it.
I mean, I have no reason to lie. Most documentaries are a little embellished. When I tell you it's about 98.9% accurate, I think that's what makes it so crazy. And I think that's why people like the stories, because they kind of feel that it's actually authentic.
Yeah.
Mike and Drew, the brothers, when I tell you that literally is who they are, they haven't changed in 17 years that I've known them. I mean, that's literally like, so the littler one, Mike, is actually the older brother. And when I tell you, we've never, in the two seasons of the Trashers, we never had like teammate conflicts before. No fights or anything, no real problems. Yeah. The only time we had a somewhat of a physical altercation was those two. The brothers, like, they just like the, I mean, that's what I loved about the doc, is it truly was so authentic. Yeah. And I think like most people like feel the same way, like, oh, we could tell it's a real story. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they are, that's who they were in the locker room. They'd be fighting, they'd be arguing over the dumbest thing. Like, but you know, like literally like mom loves me more than you. I mean, it was just, it was a frat house. It really was.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that.
You know, in the 2 years of the team, you know, playing games, and from the time that you found out you were going to be a part of the management of the team to even now, I think when I think about like my experience as a fan and then working in sports and all of that, I'm constantly building up these moments of like, this is a highlight of my career. This is a highlight of being a sports fan. And then I'll look back on like a past year in a sport. I'll be like, what were some of the best moments? And it's sometimes hard because it feels like in sports every day, there's something new happening and something exciting or frustrating happening. When you look back on kind of everything you did from the start, even until now, is there any day or moment that stands out where you're like, man, that was a awesome day and I'm never going to forget that?
Well, that's a really good perspective, because one thing I do regret is not living in the moment as much, I guess, those two seasons. Mm-hmm. And, doing podcasts with you guys or anything, like, these are things that I'm trying to live in the moment now. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm so backed up with work, it's insane, but I don't care, because you know what, you got to live in and enjoy these moments. But to answer your question, like, honestly, going, actually, maybe because it's just stuck in my head, going back to that playoff game I was just telling you about, you know, after the triple overtime, I mean, we didn't leave the rink there till like 3 a.m. It was so late. Yeah. I just remember my dad and I and my really good friend Steve, who came up with us. I remember our adrenaline from winning that game so high we couldn't sleep. I just remember sitting on the floor with my dad and my friend eating Domino's pizza at like 3:30 in the morning in this random hotel up in the Adirondacks.
Yeah,
I don't know why that moment sticks with me, and it's just like, you know, it's a cool thing to remember.
That is. That's awesome. And, you know, before we let you go, we'd be remiss to not mention that you had said that there was no ice rink. You guys brought the Danbury Ice Arena to the town, which now the Connecticut Whale get to call home in cities. How really cool is that? Because, again, you made such a lasting impact, whether you believe it or not. And while we can poke fun and be, oh, this was cheeky and this was silly, but really, you guys did a lot for hockey in the area.
Well, you know, it's humbling to hear that. And you're right. You know, sometimes I do wonder, had the team not been there, where the rink might be, might not be. But you know what? I think it's great. Like you said, the Connecticut Whale, you know, the hat tricks are in there. I mean, carrying on the torch is all that matters. You know, I mean, my father had a vision to create a culture here. It really wasn't about money. It was about, you know, creating a culture. And, you know, hockey wasn't a hotbed over here, you know, at the time. And, you know, he just was very steadfast in his vision, like, hey, we're going to make something here. And, you know, whether the logo on the ice now is a trash can or it's a whale, mm-hmm. as long as it's going on, that's mm-hmm. that means we accomplished, and he accomplished what ultimately he set out to do.
And then final question, any regrets, anything that you would have changed from that time, or, you know, looking back, it was like, nope, we did it. We conquered, right?
Definitely no regrets. I would say definitely. And that's such a cliche thing to answer. Like, I have no regrets. If I did have one, I'd tell you, but I really, I don't think so. I think we did everything like literally on the fly. We had no plans. We literally just said, you know what, we're going to throw all this at the wall and whatever sticks. And that's literally, that was our business model. I mean, it's insane. You know?
You love to see it. Well, AJ, again, thank you so, so much. Be sure you guys go on to Netflix, check out the Untold Crime and Penalties documentary. It is full of laughs and just really fantastic. AJ, where can people find more about you or about your boxing business?
Well, definitely on Instagram, you could go at DB Trashers. Same thing with Twitter. My boxing gym on Instagram is at Champs Danbury. And definitely. I control the social, so shoot me a DM. I try to answer everybody. It's been nuts, but I like interacting with people interested with the story.
Absolutely. And hey, anytime you find yourself in Minnesota, we'll be your personal tour guides to all the Mighty Ducks locations.
I've heard a lot. I mean, Minnesota is hockey. I've never been there, but I that's definitely on my bucket list for sure.
You could have asked Mike Rupp when you had him on the team. He'll learn a thing or two. He'll be a guy that can show you too. So, well, again, AJ, thank you so much. We really, really appreciate the time. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey guys, this is producer Fred. I just want to ask everyone to go out there and spread the word about Bar Down Beauties. Leave us a like, share, thumbs up, review, you name it, we want to hear from you. Find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and of course, your favorite podcast app.
We're back. Again, shout out to AJ. So awesome. He's sending us some sweet gear, which I cannot wait to rock. Still waiting for that, AJ, though, just in case we get our address.
It's holiday season. Mail takes a little longer these days.
Yeah, that's true. No, again, be sure to check out that documentary. I know I gave Alexis and Fred the homework to watch it. You guys watched it. You liked it, right? Yes. It's good.
It's really good. And the thing that I didn't even realize either was like how many people have been like aware of that documentary. Like I've seen a lot of people who I know aren't even that big of like hockey people or whatever being like on Twitter, like, oh my God, that documentary was so cool. Like that was so interesting. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize like how far this documentary reached outside of the hockey, like the tight knit hockey community. So yes, highly, highly, highly go recommend it. It's really well done. And AJ, like what you saw in that interview and what you see in the documentary, like that's how he really is. Like, I mean, he is just a hilarious person, super nice guy. Like you said, Jesse, salt of the earth. And really, really glad that we got him to jump on with us and chat about it.
Yeah. We're going to try to bring in more guests like that. I'm sure you all love our big name hockey folks and we do too, but that gets hard, guys. I'm just going to throw it out there. It gets a little challenging for Jesse to find.
Well, part of 101 episodes, you guys not understand every damn
so
week.
I want to get more kind of fun, different people like AJ who still have a hockey connection somehow, but mix it up a little bit. So speaking of mixing it up, Alexis, you decided to go off the Minnesota Wild path this week with our Up for Debate, talking about the best scorer in the league, because you said you were ready to fight.
Best as usual.
Yes, as usual. You got Connor McDavid, Alex Ovechkin, or Nathan MacKinnon. I got some thoughts. Do you want me to just off the bat tell you
just
my thoughts?
I just got to say, first of all, my thought process behind kind of why I came up with
this. Please do, because that's my biggest question.
Yeah. So one, the idea was sparked by just like some of the insane plays Connor McDavid has made lately. And I saw some people talking, you know, about some of the top scorers in the league and bringing in Alex Ovechkin and some of these other guys who've really just lit the lamp recently. And so I was like, well, this is an interesting debate because there's so many different styles of like skill that top scorers have. Like some are more the finesse guy, some are more speed, some are more whatever. And I think we're really lucky at this point in time. Like we've got some really talented scorers in the NHL right now. And so I'm like, I want to know, like, is Connor McDavid the best, or can we make an argument for some other people, thinking about age, thinking about all this stuff? So that's where I came up with these three, tough to narrow it down as it usually is. But Jesse, air out your beef with me if you have it and tell us who you think is the top scorer.
I'm surprised you didn't put like an Austin Matthews in there or something. Like
I almost did. Right? I almost did. I didn't want to get, everyone always shits on me when I put somebody who I like personally really like. I'm like, I'm not doing it this time. I'm not giving you guys that.
Oh, Ryan Hartman. No, I guess my biggest question was around Nathan MacKinnon, because while he can score and but you know, you just said it, right? They all have different levels. Like Nathan MacKinnon to me is an elite player for just completely different reasons. He's kind of the full package, right? Like he's not necessarily to me a huge goal scorer. Like he'll be on the score sheet. I mean, you look at that whole top line, right? Like he's just, I see him more as kind of like a brute and somebody that'll set up. Again, not to say that he's not in that category. I just have never thought of putting him in the category with Connor McDavid and Alex Ovechkin as goal scoring goals.
That's, well, and I think
light beef.
Nathan MacKinnon, the reason I kind of put him in there was, again, thinking about the full spectrum of like what makes somebody a good scorer. And like, if you put this person on a different team, would they still be that same kind of scorer? And for me, I kind of wanted that argument of like, okay, well, if you put Nathan MacKinnon somewhere else where he wasn't on an electric top line, would he stand out as much as he does with guys like Gabriel Landeskog and with guys like Cale Makar and other guys on that team who really, like, as a whole, I mean, whenever you think of some of the best top lines in hockey in recent years, Colorado's top line always comes to mind. So I'm like, I feel like I got to throw one of those guys in there, even though I don't think Nathan MacKinnon is the best scorer in the league. I think he's one of the most talented players in the league. I don't think he's one of the most elite scorers right now. But I thought there is an argument to be made. Does he agree with me too? Your dog?
She does. She, she is. She's like, no, Nathan MacKinnon, never. Why would you do that?
Yeah, so that's kind of why I threw him in there, but I really think it is, he's not part of the bigger argument there. So who'd you go with? Are you pro Ovechkin, McDavid, or are you going to pull, because you could pull somebody else out of a hat too here.
No, I mean, it's so tough, right? Because I've loved Alex Ovechkin since he came into league, because him and I are both old and we are the same age. And I appreciate that. I mean, the dude's one away from power play goals. Yeah. It's, you know, he continues to just be absolutely electric. His office can never be shut down. It's constantly open. But you know, Connor McDavid, how do you say Connor McDavid is not an amazing goal scorer? Right.
So I know. I
mean, it's so tough. I'm going to go with my heart and go Alex Ovechkin, because again, he's been around, but it's a toss up. You could go either way with him or Connor McDavid. I hope Alex continues to shatter records. I hope he pulls a Yager and plays until he's like, or Gordie Howe and plays until he's 60 and continues to just break records. Cause again, what he's done has transformed the game. I think when he and Sidney Crosby came onto the scene, again, two very different players, but they really brought this attention to the NHL in the way that they played and their style of play. So Ovi's my choice. Connor McDavid, a very high honorable mention, because he literally makes me just drool and watch his play over and over again. Alexis, what's your call?
I'm also going Alex Ovechkin, and I want to preface this by saying I don't think we'll ever see another player like Connor McDavid, like, in the NHL, maybe, right? Like, there might be people who come close, and there might be people who we say, like, oh, that's very, like, Connor McDavid-esque, but I do think he's a one-of-a-kind hockey player, and that is why he catches everybody's attention. Playing on a team like the Edmonton Oilers, who aren't an elite team, Connor McDavid is doing highlight reel stuff every single night, so there's something to be said about that, and him and Leon Draisaitl as a pairing is just, like, some elite hockey. But what impresses me about Alex Ovechkin is that his age, like, when you look at the top scorers in the league over the last couple of years, Alex Ovechkin is the oldest by a mile. And the fact that he is still doing what he's doing, I think he's what, 39? Is that how old he is right now? Something like that. Or mid 30s. I mean,
mid 30s. I was like, he's not 30. He looks like he's like 40, but I don't think he's 39.
His birthday, he was born in 1985. What does that make him?
So that's 2 years older than me. So he's probably about 36.
Okay. There we go.
That's 36.
Fred, you're old.
I look better than he does, though.
Wow.
That's next week's debate. For what he's doing for his age, I'm just so impressed every single night, first of all. Second of all, I think that the thing that impresses me about Alex Ovechkin, so we're like, Connor McDavid is creative with his hockey. Alex Ovechkin scores from the same damn spot every time, and still nobody can stop him. How can nobody stop him yet? We know exactly what he's going to do. We know exactly how he's going to shoot the puck and all of that. And still people can't stop him. So there's something to be said about the fact that the consistency of his game is still unstoppable because he's so good at what he does.
You can't stop him.
Literally,
I feel like that was a lot of stopping. Like,
a lot of stopping.
You can't stop him.
But you cannot stop him.
They still can't stop someone. Stop him.
You can't, though. You can't stop him. So I got to go with Ovechkin for that reason. Like you said, him and Sidney Crosby coming into the league at the time that they did, they changed a lot about hockey. And I think they brought in a whole new group of fans that are Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby fans. And I've always
can't
been
cross Ovechkin. Nicks either. My husband's a Sidney Crosby fan. I'm an Alex Ovechkin fan. It's hard that we cross crop populated. I feel weird about that, but
And we'll have to figure out what your kids are. That'll be the deciding factor.
Probably Connor McDavid fans.
I've always been Ovechkin over Sidney Crosby, but I think that Ovechkin's age, you know, he's had the most goals in the league over the last 5 years. He's not the top scorer, but he's had the most goals. So I've just been impressed with all of that. Connor McDavid, though, one of a kind hockey player. And I would not shame anybody for trying to make an argument for him being the best in the league in recent years. But that's what I'm going with.
Fred, you got a horse in the race? Who would you?
I never have a horse in the race.
That's very true. I thought maybe you might. I don't know.
No, I don't care.
Fred unless is filming TJ Oshie, horse I don't race. Care.
Oh, I love TJ Oshie.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
TJ Oshie.
What a guy. What a human.
TJ Oshie. Should have thrown him in there.
Oh, we'll get him on the pod. TJ, we're looking for you. That's going to do it for this week's episode. Another good one. No cues of the buttes this week. We're taking a little break because we had a lot going on. That whole 100 episode thing. I don't know if you guys saw that. That's what we did last week.
A lot of work. And it was a holiday week. Who lined up our 100th episode for the week of Thanksgiving?
I know. Exactly. Shout out to all of our past guests who sent in a congratulations. That was so cool to see. And again, just kind of reminded us, gave me chills that we've done a hell of a job getting people on here. And thank you to all of you, obviously, for that. We're continuing to roll, put it in the past. We're moving on. Sky's the limit. Shout out to Talk North for featuring us on their lovely network. Shout out to sodastick.com. I know Alexis said that she got a little tear in her eye when Landon sent in his celebratory. We love him. He's so
I texted great. Jesse and I was going back and listening to all of the congrats and I teared up a few times. I mean, seriously, like it's just such a good reminder. And that was Fred's idea, by the way, to get guests to send us, you know, a congrats. And I'm so happy that we did it. And shout out to Jesse. She was the one who finessed all of the, you know, asking people to send them
so
in.
So much ass.
All I did was post them. So good job, Jesse and Fred, getting all of that going. But yeah, going back and watching them and like, you can just tell, you know, it reminded me of how tight knit the hockey community here is here in Minnesota and just in general. And I teared up a few times and watching Landon's, he's literally been with us since day one, like before we even put out
before
an episode.
Even like day one, like we were literally just kinda like, we don't even have a name yet.
He was like day like one BC, you know, he like, he was there beforehand. And when he was like, you know, I love you guys. I was like, that's just so nice to hear. And yeah, so thank you everybody who's come on and who sent in congratulations. It really, us watching it behind the scenes before we posted all of them really warmed our hearts, so we appreciate it.
And thanks, Lynn, again, day one partner, so we're grateful for that. Don't forget you can use code BARDOWNBEAUTIES for 15% off all purchases. We still got the Marcus Foligno fan club, we still got the jersey that Fred I think wears every single day, so that's exciting. You know,
very stinky over here.
Yeah, do you wash that thing, Fred?
never
He's wearing it again in today's episode. That's why I brought it up. And then also shout out to Better Edge, BETTOREdge.com, code BEAUTS, BEAUTS, a free $10. Play Beat the Butte, guys, do it. I dare you. Tuesday, Thursdays generally are when we do it. I'm on Tuesdays. Alexis is on Thursday, unless for some reason games are obsolete, like last week where we moved them around a bit. Also, shout out to Jim Beam. Cheers to you. Cheers to me. Cheers to drinking in the wintertime and watching hockey. That's what Jim Beam's all about, baby. And shout out to Tony Hoagland at ChamblinInsurance.com. And as always, we love you guys. Shout out to you. Continue that fan engagement. Continue subscribing, sharing, rating, loving. You guys are the best. I know Alexis got a shout out from a fan on the storming the Gopher field yesterday, which
that
was really
the
cool.
Most hilarious thing ever. Yes. I was literally like, we're all like running, right? Like we're so excited. And this guy just runs past me, goes, big fan of the podcast. And I was like, thanks. And my boyfriend's like, what? What just happened? And I was like, I don't know. That guy listens to the podcast. I don't know.
I don't know. We're a thing. We're cool. Yeah. We're cool.
So shout out to the Barnum Beauties fans who are at the Gopher game, apparently.
Yes, exactly. So no, you guys rock. We love you.